I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape. Shake 38, a five-day urban reading marathon of Shakespeare's 38-play canon, began this morning. And an upcoming educational production takes on cyberbullying. Both are part of Shakespeare Festival St. Louis. Chris Limber is the festival's education director. Hi, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Steve. Glad to be here.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
More about Shake 38 a little later, but let me ask you this. William Shakespeare was born 449 years ago this month. So what can the Bard possibly teach us about cyberbullying in 2013?
Well, bullying as an event has not really changed much since Shakespeare's time. And his plays have lots of examples of bullying. And when we did Taming of the Shrew, Rick Dildine, our executive director, and I were talking about ways to make the touring company that we have relevant with the social issue, and we decided to take on bullying by presenting a new play called Cruel to Be Kind, which dealt with Shakespeare writing As You Like It, which has brothers that bully each other. And this play that we're doing now is based on Romeo and Juliet, but takes place actually in a high school.
Right. Well, cyberbullying certainly is, you know, grabs our attention these days, grabs the headlines. It's, you know, I guess it's a major issue for young people.
Well, social media has given us lots of wonderful opportunities, but it's also a very anonymous way to criticize and to torment. And so this play, Winning Juliet, is about a high school that's doing Romeo and Juliet and the competition between the girls for the lead role. A new girl moves to school and presents a competition for the senior actress who expects that she's going to get Juliet, and her posse of friends decide to harass her with a Facebook page and so forth.
Sounds like an episode of Glee or something.
Oh, it's, yeah. One of the things that we did was the director, Emily Coring, who teaches at Grand Central Arts Academy, and I actually did some story circles with young women, middle school and high school age, in preparation for writing the piece, and asked them what they felt about competition, what they felt about the internet and Facebook, and how that was a good thing and a bad thing. And we gathered some amazing information, and that was the genesis of the play.
So you wrote this along with playwright Elizabeth Birkenmeyer?
Yes.
And it's actually a musical?
It is. We wanted to produce a play that was from a young person's perspective, because that's the best way to reach young people. And we decided to make rock and roll part of it. So there are four songs that are used within the piece, and they're lots of fun.
Let's sample one right now, and we'll talk about it afterwards. This is Between Us.
Can't repent this hatred between us, between us.
And that's from Winning Juliet. Shakespeare Festival St. Louis presents Winning Juliet. That would be next Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th. And the following week in the 3rd and 4th at Clayton High School's Little Theater. And it's part of the Shakespeare Festival's season, I guess. Is this part of your educational mm-hmm. component?
Yes. One of the questions that we get during the festival is, well, what do you do the rest of the year?
And, right.
And our education programs continue throughout the year with residencies, and we have a touring company, and then this is part of our Metro Youth Program, which is an opportunity for middle school and high school kids to encounter Shakespeare, study Shakespeare, and perform Shakespeare.
Right. And what people know you for are your performances in May and June out in Forest Park, outside. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Well, we heard part of the music. It's an interesting story there. Who's responsible for that?
That's local composer David Toretta with the group Fairchild. And he also is Chuck Berry's producer, produces his current recordings, and wonderful musician.
So Winning Juliet tells a story of a girl in high school, and she's being bullied. She's going to audition for a play or something, and then the bullying goes viral,
mm-hmm.
right?
She's so scared to audition because of the harassment in school that she produces a YouTube video of the audition for her teacher and sends it to her. The competitors hack into the computer and send the YouTube viral, so everybody in the school thinks she's actually committed suicide and she gets expelled.
Hmm. And what's interesting about this is that this production features, I think it's four area teenagers.
It's actually
more than that.
11.
11.
From four different schools.
Right.
Grand Center Arts Academy, Melville High School, Clyde Miller, Career Academy, and Clayton High School, and Webster Groves High School, too.
We're talking with Chris Limber, who's the Education Director for Shakespeare Festival St. Louis. And Chris, you said something earlier about, interacting with the kids and talking to them about bullying and their experience and things. So mm-hmm. I'm curious more specifically what you found out.
Well, the most interesting thing that I've discovered over we've been working with bullying as an issue and using plays to begin the conversation for the past 3 years, and one of the things that we've discovered is that everybody has a different definition of what bullying is. Parents, administrators, students, and teachers all have their individual ideas of what it is, and until we get everybody on the same page, we're never going to be able to resolve the issue.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I was never really bullied personally, and it was a long time since I've been in high school, but I remember bullying back then was pretty simple. You said something nasty to somebody in the hall.
Right.
And that's seemed like all there was to it, but it's a lot more complicated than that now.
Well, any behavior that torments another and gives the impression that it's not going to stop is considered bullying. There are some parents who say, well, that's just part of growing up. Those are kids being kids, and often defend their charges, their students in school, if they're called by a principal. And the thing is that we all have to have the same definition so that when somebody is being bullied, the person being bullied and the bully get a chance to resolve the conflict. But that takes time.
Right.
It takes time. It takes effort.
Yeah, you mentioned the parents. That's interesting. Do you think that sometimes as adults we're not sympathetic to that? Because, I don't know, if somebody tried to bully me now, I'd just ignore them. No big deal for me, but, I'm an adult.
Yeah. Right. It takes practice. And I think that there's a lot of bullying that goes on in schools that's kind of below the radar of the teachers and the administration. Kids are real smart about being able to hide the fact that they're bullying. And so there has to be a way for kids to report if they're being bullied. There has to be a way for those relationships to be resolved. And that's something that a lot of schools are doing some really wonderful things to accomplish now.
So does Winning Juliet, does it provide some answers in what you just said, how to work things out?
Well, it actually does. I don't want to give away the event of the play, but there is a resolving to the relationship between the girl that's bullied and the girl who is kind of the motivation of the bullying. And it's a hopeful message. There's a sense of justice that occurs at the end of the play, and you get a sense that friendships are going to be restored.
And why make it a musical?
To make it fun, to make it enjoyable. We also want to give opportunities for young performers to excel and to use all of their talents.
Why don't we hear another sample from the music from Winning Juliet? This is Friend Me.
Great.
Communicating my addiction. affliction. Fame and fortune's premonition. Look at me as my conviction, then removing all restrictions. Instagram me, Instagram me, Instagram me. Oxygen and cyber tether. Breath and web exist together. Every present exhibition is a future premonition. Texting, texting, texting.
Winning Juliet, part of Shakespeare Festival St. Louis, is going to be next Friday and Saturday and the following Friday and Saturday at Clayton High School.
I should also mention that we have 8 student matinees during the course of the week at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and one at 10 o'clock on Friday.
I love that little refrain, text me. It sounds so ominous.
Yeah,
it does. And it is.
It is.
It is. Well, let's talk about Shake 38.
Oh, yes.
Which is really exciting, and that's something that began this morning, and at various times, various locations over the next 5 days, and that's really, really caught on.
Shake 38 is a wonderful celebration of Shakespeare. It kind of begins the festival season leading up to the production in Forest Park. And local residents are invited to participate. This is the third annual Shake 38. It's a 5-day reading of all of Shakespeare's 38 major plays. And it starts today. It culminates with the Bard's birthday on Tuesday, April 23rd, and participants are encouraged to read, to act, to dance, to draw, to create their own version of a Shakespeare play in any way they want.
And my sense of it is that not everyone that's involved, is an authority on Shakespeare or maybe ever read Shakespeare before.
Well, that's one of the wonderful things about the program. It's a great way to get to know Shakespeare, and we've done performances on top of ice cream trucks. One of the groups this year, the Slightly Askew Ensemble, is going to do Much Ado About Nothing in rowboats in one of the local parks. There was a dance interpretation of Twelfth Night on the steps of the Missouri Historical Society last year. So it's an opportunity for schools, community groups, any group that wants to join together and do a Shakespeare play.
And really interesting variety of places, too. Like the one this morning was at Central Library. Later today, there's something at Afton High School, Francis Howell High School. There's something at Sasha's on Shaw. I mean, just everywhere you can think of.
There will be a reading of Merry Wives of Windsor at Dressel's. Tonight, there's a 8-school production of Twelfth Night at Harrisstone University. Shakespeare is everywhere.
So do people have to make any kind of plans to get involved? They just show up at these locations, or how does that work?
Well, there are many local groups that put a lot of rehearsal time into it, but there are also some spontaneous blind shakes where you can just show up.
Like a pop-up restaurant kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. and you can just show up and be handed a script and read a play for the first time and get to know all the people that are there to participate.
And what I didn't realize until recently was that this is a pretty unique event for St. Louis. I figured they did this in every big city.
Well, there are Shakespeare celebrations, but they usually go on for a whole year. This is a 5-day, every play in the 38-play canon is celebrated. And we actually are going to be launching a website for Shake 38 that's been funded by the National Endowment, and it will provide resources for any city to produce a Shake 38.
Wow. And Twelfth Night is your big production for
yes.
the year. That's at, what do you call that, Shakespeare Glen?
Shakespeare Glen.
In Forest Park.
Yes.
And that's May 24th through the 16th. And I think Rick Dildine is directing, and I think you're going into rehearsal like any day?
Yes. Next week we go into rehearsal. And Twelfth Night is one of Shakespeare's most beloved plays. And
why is that?
Well, it's very funny. And the characters are well known. Some of the greatest quotes, some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them is from Twelfth Night. If music be the food of love, play on is from Twelfth Night. And Twelfth Night is the only play that actually begins and ends with music, and we're going to have live music through the whole production for the first time.
Well, if someone's never been, it's such an experience. I mean, just the setting in Forest Park, out of doors, and it's just so appropriate.
It's a wonderful time. It's very family friendly. This year, the set is going to actually have a groundling section, which is really fun. You'll be right up close to the stage. Every year, the Shakespeare Festival is quite a party.
All right, let's go over this again. Shakespeare Festival St. Louis presents Winning Juliet. That's going to be next Friday and Saturday, 26th and 27th. And Friday and Saturday, May 3rd and 4th, at Clayton High School's Little Theater. Then there's Shake 38, which began today and runs for 5 days at various times in various locations. And then Twelfth Night is the real festival, Shakespeare Festival St. Louis in Forest Park. That will be nightly from the 24th, May 24th through June 16th. At 8 p.m., except on Tuesdays, and a green show starts before at 6:30. If you want more information about the schedule, anything that Shakespeare Festival St. Louis is doing, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to your website, and people can find out more information about that. This coming Tuesday, the 23rd, is Shakespeare's 449th birthday.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So we thank you so much. Chris Limber is the Education Director for Shakespeare Festival St. Louis. We thank you for coming today and look forward to more of your good work. Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
And time now for a look at the Cityscape calendar. Surya Performing Arts presents its 5th annual St. Louis Indian Dance Festival, beginning tonight at 6:30 and continuing through Sunday afternoon in the Clayton High School Auditorium. Shen Yun presents a program of Chinese dance and music, tonight at 7:30, tomorrow at 2 and 7:30, and Sunday afternoon at 2 in the Peabody Opera House on Market Street. St. Louis Actors Studio's production of Samuel Beckett's Waiting for Godot opens tonight at 8 and will continue through May 5th at the Gaslight Square Theater on Boyle. The Artist Presentation Society presents a winner's concert by violinist Henry Wong Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock at the Ethical Society on Clayton Road. And the Sheldon Gala presents vocalist Bobby McFerrin in a program titled Spirit You All, Thursday night, 8:15 in the Sheldon Concert Hall. St. Louis on the Air host Don Marsh talked with McFerrin this past Monday about his St. Louis ties, why he considers himself a songcatcher, his Sheldon concert, and his soon-to-be-released album. You can hear their conversation on our website, stlpublicradio.org. And you can find out more about these and other events on the events section of our website as well. Next week on Cityscape, we'll talk about the St. Louis Storytelling Festival. We'll also take a look at some of the latest food trends in Soundbites, our monthly segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine. And join Don Marsh Monday for St. Louis on the Air as he talks about current issues pertaining to the law with a panel of legal experts. Archive versions of past Cityscape programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. Cityscape is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, engineered by Aaron Dorr, with assistance from Spencer Reed and Drew Becker. The executive producer is Robert Peterson. Cityscape is made possible in part by the Arts and Education Council of Greater St. Louis, the Regional Arts Commission, and the Missouri Arts Council, a state agency. Cityscape is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. I'm Steve Potter. Thanks for listening.